Revelation chapter 9, verse 12 through 21. This is reading of God's word. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released, so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. You have told us that you will sanctify us through the truth, your word. And Father, it is your will for us to sanctify, be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And only way that would happen is that we hear your word and believe. Oh Father, we pray, Father, that you will grant us the ear to hear, so that we may hear and believe, so that we may grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are looking at the last three trumpets, which are also three woes. Last Lord's Day, we have looked at the fifth trumpet, which is also the first woe. These woes are God's judgments that he pours on the unbelievers, those who dwell on the earth, according to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, non-Christians are always called those who dwell on the earth. Even Satan and demons, the fallen angels, are used by God as the instruments of his judgment upon this sinful world. The spiritual torment that these non-believers receive is so great that we read in chapter 9, verse 6, and in those days men will seek death and will not find it. And they will long to die, and death flees from them. Their lives here on earth are a preview of hell. Now today we will look at the sixth trumpet, which is also the second woe. The first thing that we must be clear is this. And I will put that in a question form. Are these woes chronological or sequential? The second woe happens after the first, and the third happens after the second. That is the question. No. These woes are not chronological. Just like all the seals and the trumpets and bowls, each of these woes covers the entire church age. I have told you that an event in the book of Revelation is some summation, a combination of all the similar events that happens in the church age. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. The golden altar, which is before God. We have seen this already in chapter 8. This is where the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ is united or mixed with the prayers of the saints, and they are offered up to God. We read about it in chapter 8. Thus, we are able to see the sixth trumpet judgment as an answer to the prayers of saints. Do you remember? They cried out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Again, we see the power of our prayers. Not that our prayers themselves are powerful, but they are united to our Lord's prayer, His perfect prayer for us. So when we pray according to His will, we could be assured that it will come true. And that is what we are called to do. We have to study the Bible to find out His will. He tells us what pleases Him. And our job is to pray accordingly. He invites us in carrying out His plan. He carries out His plan through the prayers that the church prays. And here we see four horns, and we have seen these when we studied the tabernacle in the book of Exodus. Well, at least some of you have studied. The horns, they are a symbol of power. Revelation 14, verse 18a, and another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar. Thus here, the four horns point to the power of God in His judgment. Four horns also show four corners. Now this shows that God rules the whole universe. Four corners of the universe. It covers entire universe. Verse 14 says, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Four angels who are bound. Good angels are never said to be bound. So we could conclude here that these angels are again demons, the fallen angels. Command was to release the four angels. Jesus commands the angel who had the trumpet. Again, notice that Satan and demons cannot do anything on their own. There's God's command. Now again, God uses Satan and demons to judge the sinful world. These demons are coming from the great river Euphrates. As you know, it is a river that is east of Israel. Remember that all the nations that God used in judging Israel in the Old Testament, they came from the region that is beyond the river Euphrates. Assyria and Babylon. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 20, there it talks about the judgment of God that is coming to Israel. And it says, in that day, the Lord will shave with a razor, hire from regions beyond the Euphrates. That is, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs, and it will also remove the beard. Assyria, great nation that comes to judge Israel, and that comes from beyond the Euphrates River. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 5 through verse 8. Well, at least the first part of verse 8. Chapter 8 verse 5. Again, the Lord spoke to me further, saying, inasmuch as these people have rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoice in Rezin, the son of Remaliah, now therefore behold, the Lord is about to bring on them the strong and abundant waters of the Euphrates, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he will rise up over all his channels and go over all his banks. Then it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass through. The attacking army is portrayed as the abundant waters of the Euphrates, sweeping on into their country. Jeremiah chapter 46 verse 10, for that day belongs to the Lord God of hosts, a day of revenge, a day of vengeance, so as to avenge himself on his foes. The sword will devour and be satisfied and drink its fill of their blood, and there will be a slaughter for the Lord God of hosts in the land of the north by the river Euphrates. Here it is predicted that the Babylonians will destroy the Egyptians, but here the phrase, in the land of north by the river Euphrates. The north is connected to the river Euphrates. Thus, in many other places in the Old Testament, we are told that the nations that are coming as the instruments of God's judgment will come from simply north. So you have these passages that talks about the armies that will come to judge Israel, and they were coming from beyond the Euphrates, or just say north. They're coming from north. Thus, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog and Magog will come from the remote parts of the north. With this in mind, we go back to the sixth trumpet judgment. What is the picture then? The picture is this. The four angels, the demons, are released from the great river Euphrates, and they are bringing a great army to kill. The sixth trumpet judgment is described in terms of the Old Testament. in terms of nations invading Israel as God's judgment for their sins. Thus, many people see the sixth trumpet judgment to be many wars that will happen during the church age, from Jesus' first coming to his second coming. Now we do not have to see the sixth trumpet judgment to be the wars and wars only, but it definitely includes wars. Verse 15, and the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released so that they might kill a third of mankind. Do you remember four angels and four corners? Well, it shows that this judgment is for the whole world. It kills a third of mankind. But here, the death is not just the physical death, because even the believers will die physically when the war happens. Do you remember that the three woes are for the non-believers? Thus, here we are looking at the second death, which of course happens after the physical death. Thus, this judgment is about wars that cause people to die physically, but it is specifically for non-believers. Their physical death will also lead them to the second death, the eternal torment of hell. So what is the judgment? The Satan and his demons will deceive people to kill one another through many ways, and the war is one of those ways. That is the judgment that we're looking at. So the sixth trumpet judgment, it happens during the church age, Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And what it's about? It's about Satan and demons deceiving people so that they will fight and kill one another. Well, sinners, and even some of Christians, because we're not perfect yet, sinners, we like the violence. You know, we see this in the movies and books, and more violent it is, the more popular it is. Even if we look at just the 20th century, how many wars have been raged and how many people have died? Maybe you don't remember the first World War I and World War II. There were so many wars raged and so many people died. Too numerous to count. The four angels are prepared for the hour and day and month and year. What does this show? It shows that all are God's plan. Even the hour and the day and month and year is all predetermined by God. God is in control. He is judging the sinful world. God of the book of Revelation, God of the Bible, our God is all-knowing and almighty. Chapter 11, verse 17, We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who wast, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign. So as you could see then, you are eyewitnesses to this sixth trumpet judgment. Verse 16, and the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. This number is a symbol, A great multitude which no one could count. Literally, it says to 10,000, 10,000. So you multiply 2 times 10,000 and times 10,000, you get 200 million. Now from verse 17 to 19, we see the description of this great army. Let's read that, verse 17 through 19. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates, the color of fire and of, I don't know how to say that, hyacinth, and of brimstone. And the head of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. And third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. The riders had breastplates, the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. The horses, their heads are like the heads of lion, meaning that authority has been given to them. And in killing, they are like lions. Out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. Smoke and brimstone are used in the Bible as the description of hell. Here, some people see these things, these three things, smoke and brimstone and fire. They see these things as the weapons that are used in a war. But like I was about to tell you, that fire and smoke and brimstone are used in the Bible as the description of hell. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10. He also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Chapter 21, verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, just one more place, chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So what is the picture? It's the hell on earth, a preview of eternal judgment. So these people will die, of course, by weapons, and, you know, people will kill one another. But it is described with these things, fire, smoke, and brimstone, to show us that it is taste of hell, a preview of eternal judgment. In the Old Testament, let us go to Psalm 18, 18th Psalm, verse 8. You need to understand, it is This judgment is war. People are deceived by Satan to fight one another and kill each other, but remember that it is God's judgment upon the sinful world. It's not just, you know, God has nothing to do with it and people are just fighting one another. But even as they fight and kill one another, it is God's judgment. And we could see this from the Old Testament that when God judges His people, these things are used, the fire and the smoke and brimstone. Psalm 18 verse 8, smoke went up out of His nostrils, and fire from His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. So symbolical language, but I want you to understand that these things are used when describing God's judgment upon His people. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. Do you remember the Sodom and Gomorrah when they, those cities are destroyed? We read in verse 24, chapter 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. So there we see the same thing. Verse 28. And He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley, and He saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. So we see all three things, smoke, fire, and brimstone. So you, as you could see, when you see these three things, then it is description of God's judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22. Now the generation to come, your sons who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a distant land, when they see the plagues of the land and the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it, will say, all its land is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown and unproductive, and no grass grows in it, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zebulun, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath. All the nations will say, why has the Lord done thus to this land? Why this great outburst of anger? Then men will say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they have not known and whom He had not allotted to them. God is bringing judgment because they broke the covenant. So, many, many places we could go to see the description of God's judgment in these, in terms of these things. So we're clearly seeing a picture of God's judgment. These three plagues, fire, smoke, and brimstone, kill a third of mankind. The tails of those, these horses, they are like serpents and have heads, or heads like serpents. So if you add up all the people who died because of war throughout history, throughout the church age, the symbolical number, one-third of all mankind have died. And understand that this is a part of God's judgment upon this sinful world. Well, obviously people will not believe it as such. The Bible clearly teaches. teaches us. Now, heads like serpents. Do you remember serpent? Let me read chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. We learn about this serpent. He is deceiving spirit. Even as Satan hurts or kills these people, he also deceives. In Matthew chapter 23, the Pharisees and scribes, they too deceive people with false teaching. Jesus calls them in Matthew 23, verse 33, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell?" The serpents are used as the instruments of God's judgment in the Old Testament. Numbers 21, for example. And in Psalm 58, verse 3 to 4, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like a deaf cobra that stops up its ear." All is lie. Many wars are a result of being deceived to Satan's lie. People are deceived by Satan. But even being deceived by Satan is the judgment that God brings to this world. And brothers and sisters, I want you to be very clear here that there is no such thing as a holy war anymore. That's the Satan's lie. Now, there are so many people in this world who will go to war and kill other men in the name of holy war. It's Satan's lie. There's no such thing anymore. In the Old Testament, yes, there was a holy war. But those days are gone. But because God's judgment is being poured out to this sinful world, they will be deceived and they will continue to go to war, I believe, until the day Jesus comes back. Revelation chapter 9, let's go back, verse 20. "The rest of mankind who are not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their theft." Even though God's judgment is being poured upon this sinful world, sinners will not repent. Their hearts are actually hardened. Exodus. Do you remember when in the Old Testament, in Exodus, when God brought 10 plagues to Egypt, Pharaoh and Egyptians, they did not repent of their sins. And just like it, when God pours out these judgments upon this sinful world, the people who belong to this world, they do not repent of their sins. Exodus 14, verse 17. "As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen." Do you remember when Israelites, when they went out, Pharaoh and his army went after them. But even that is the result of God hardening Pharaoh and his army's hearts. And without the Holy Spirit, without God's blessing upon us, nobody is able to repent. See, some people think that, you know, God's word has no power. That when, even when we, you know, sound the trumpet, meaning that we preach God's word, then nothing happens to some of these worldly people. But don't think that way. God's word will always bring effect. Either you're going to be blessed by it and receive grace, or you're going to be hardened by it. Some people actually, as they hear God's word, their hearts are hardened. They get really upset. So there's that. It's not that God's word is ineffective. It's always effective. But it could go two ways. And just because that person did not receive God's word and their hearts, that his heart is hardened, doesn't mean God's word is ineffective. And that's what is happening. More and more church preaches God's word, the world is more and more upset by it. Their hearts are hardened. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. These people, non-Christians, they do not believe God. They would not honor God. So what does God do as a judgment? Chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. God just forsakes them to their impurity and just let them do whatever their hearts desire. And they will dwell in sin forever and ever. Verse 26. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their woman exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So this is what is happening. When you look at Egyptians in Exodus, then it becomes very clear. Even as God was judging Egyptians, judging Egypt, if they repented and come back to God, then, then God will forgive them, right? Anybody who come and repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ will be forgiven. But they did not do that. And that is exactly what is happening right now too. God is judging this world, but people of this world will not repent. So God's judgment continues. God leaves them alone in their sinfulness. God abandons them to be deceived by Satan. They worship idols. Yeah, they're even religious, but they do not repent. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. If we see the sixth trumpet as wars, then they don't repent, but now worship the war heroes. They did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their theft. They are, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, the works of the flesh, and according to Colossians 3, the works of the old self. But brothers and sisters, you have been saved from all that. That is why when you sin, you repent. And when you hear God's word, you receive. What we read in the book of Revelation is so true. Even when you look at Europe, you know, 20th century, we had, you know, first World War I and World War II. And so many people died from those wars. But those people who are involved in that war, those wars, did they repent? Look at Europe. They were Christians. Look at them right now after those wars. They actually went further away from God. It's so hard to find a true church in Europe these days. See how whatever that we read in the Bible, it just clearly happens exactly according to what we read. The world will not repent, even after God's judgment. That is why their sins one day will be filled up and God's final judgment will come. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the Word of God, understand exactly what is happening in the world. Don't say, how could this happen if God is alive? Some people look at these wars and say, how can this happen if God is alive? Brothers and sisters, it happens because God is alive. God is judging this world. Look at all these judgments that God speaks of in the book of Revelation. Some people just don't get it. They go, if God is so good God, and if God is in control, why these things happen? That's a wrong question. All these things happen because God is alive and He's carrying out His plan. He's judging this world. And people's proper response to these kind of judgments of God is repentance, but they will not repent. And God's judgment continues until the final judgment that He will bring. He told us what will happen. He told us exactly what will happen. And look at the world. It happened. It's exactly how the Bible says. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. You must know what is happening. You must understand the truth. The sixth trumpet judgment. The opportunity for repentance of their sins is not given to the non-believers. But how about you? Do you repent? Or even your heart is hardened when God's word is being preached? True Christians, we repent. But non-Christians, they harden their hearts. Go to Romans chapter 2. I want you to read this yourselves. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Non-Christians are doing this. They don't understand the kindness. Even the judgment upon this world is giving these people opportunity to repent of their sins. But they take it lightly. The riches of God's kindness and tolerance and patience. God is patiently waiting so that people will repent. But no, because of their stubbornness and unrepentant heart, they are actually storing up a wrath of God. The world is storing up God's wrath. But understand again, I told you this last time too, this has nothing to do with you. Understand that where you have been saved out from. Understanding that will bring you joy because this, because of Christ, because of what he has done for you, this has nothing to do with you. So that when you look at your life and see there's something that is contrary to what Bible describes a Christian, then you must repent and realize the kindness and long patience of God, even for us, that he awaits for us to repent and come back to God. Not that we are unsaved or, you know, fallen from grace, no. But living that life that clearly shows that we are his people. So when you understand these things, when you see these things happening, then it is time for us to repent. God is giving us an opportunity to repent. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, what will we do if we do not have Christ? If we don't have Jesus Christ, then this is our future, God's judgment. More wars may be raised in our lifetime, and we might even die physically because of them. But remember that for you and for me, we have eternal life. The sixth trumpet judgment is not for us. Even though we might die physically, we will not die spiritually. We will not die by the wrath of God in terms of fire and smoke and brimstone. That's not for us. Sixth judgment, sixth trumpet judgment is not for you. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 verse 24, truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ says to his church. Listen to what he says to you by the Holy Spirit through his word. Let me read a few places in Revelation. Do you remember those seven churches, those letters to seven churches? Those are God's letters to you and listen to what it says. Chapter 2, verse 5. Therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Chapter 3, verse 3. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Chapter 3, verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Because by repenting, you prove to yourself, to everybody else, that you are of God. Because the Bible clearly shows that the world will not repent. That's why there's harsh language. If you do not repent, then you showed that you are not a Christian. So there's that judgment that God speaks of. But every Christian will repent. And if you are one, you will repent. Listen. Don't harden your heart. When you hear His voice through His word, Jesus says to you, repent. Do not harden your hearts. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, by grace of God, now is time for the repentance of our sins. God's grace is upon you. Do not take lightly when He gives you opportunity to repent. That way, you're going to be confident that these judgments are not for you. God's promise, when you repent, He will forgive you. Well, He already has forgiven you. That is why you will repent. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that you give us to repent of our sins. Even as we see your judgment upon this sinful world, they are your grace to us. Opportunities that you give us to repent of our sins. Oh Father, when we hear your voice today, let us not harden our hearts like non-Christians, but truly understand your grace, your long-suffering, long patience, and come to the repentance so that we may live that holy and righteous life, give everything we have to live that life that pleases you. Bless us. Bless your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.